Good Chodesh, everybody. Welcome to the third daf of Shabbos, Daf Dalet. We're back on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, and we are continuing from yesterday's discussion. Right now we're talking about the length of an amma. We're talking Erevin. We're talking about Korah, the height restriction of the Korah. How high can it be? So we know we've learned already over the first couple of days of the Masechta that it cannot be higher than 20 amas. Rav Yehuda disagrees. The Halacha does not follow Rav Yehuda. The height maximum of the Erev is going to be 20 amas. Now that we know that it's 20 amas, so now we're dealing with, over the course of the beginning of this morning, what exactly is the height of an amma? So an amma, as I mentioned yesterday, is not an absolute shear. There's a range in terms of what the amma could be. How big a range are we talking about? So that's subject to a machlokas. The Gemara is going to quote Rav Nachman, two versions of Rav Nachman, Abaye's version of Rav Nachman and Rava's version of Rav Nachman. We are still yet in the middle of Abaye's version of Rav Nachman. According to Abaye, the way he quotes Rav Nachman, the range of the amma is going to be somewhere between 5 tefachim and 6 tefachim. Now that's a big difference. That's about an 18% difference in terms of, 20% difference depending on which point you start from. But either way, the point is that that's a big difference in terms of the height of the amma. So what Abaye says is, well, it depends. Depends what we're talking about. If we're talking about the halachas of Sukkah, or if we're talking about the halachas of Mavui, so then we're talking about the height maximum. So there, we're going to be machmir. And by machmir, what do we mean by that? Meaning that we're going to want to make them smaller amos, so that the height maximum is going to be shorter. We're going to want to be machmir. So there we're going to use amos of 5 tefachim. That is what we got up to yesterday. But if we need longer areas, so then we're going to need, in other words, if longer means more machmir, so then we're going to want to use the 6 tefach amma. Now, where do we want it to be? Where is longer going to present a chumra? So the answer is going to be in the Isra of Kalayim. Okay, I drew up on the board two diagrams for us to look at as we go through the Gemara inside. So first, I'll read the Gemara inside, and then you can look up on the board for a little bit of assistance in terms of understanding. We're right in the middle of Gimel Amud Beis, where with the words, Amas Kalayim. The Gemara now goes on to explain. Again, this is Abaye's version of Rav Nachman, in that the range of an amma is somewhere between 6 tefachim and 5 tefachim. Now we're going to explain when do we need 6 tefachim. Amas kalayim, amas bashisha. So when we're talking about the Yisra of kalayim, so you need 6. Now, why do you need 6? Lamai hilchasa, lakarachas hakechem, lamachol hakerem. We need it for the karachas hakerem, literally the bald spot of the kerem, of the vineyard, and the machol hakerem, machol. Machol is the perimeter of the kerem. Machol from the word macholos. Macholos, we'll see this in Tanis, it refers to the perimeter. Dinan karachas hakerem beishamay armim asrim ve'arba amos. Ve'isola armim sheish esrei amos. Now, in terms of the bald spot of the kerem, you need 16 amos. I'll explain it better in just a moment. Meanwhile, we'll read on. Now, as far as the perimeter of the kerem, I need 12 amos. Now, ezu karachas hakerem. Now, can we explain this any better? So the Mishnah in Kalayim explains all this in more detail. Kerem she'charev emtziosav. Look, I have the picture that's closer to me, right? Where I have a vineyard, meaning in this outer box over here, I have a vineyard. Rows of vines being planted. Okay, hence, it is a vineyard. Now, we know in the Torah that once you have a vineyard, you're not allowed to plant any other seeds in the vineyard. Okay? The one of the Isuri Torah, it's mentioned in Parshas Kiseitze, mentioned again, Kedoshim? Yeah, I think Kedoshim. Okay, there's an Issa in the Torah to plant. So once I have a vineyard, I can't plant anything in the middle. However, if there's a large enough cushion in the middle of the field, the bald spot of the field, so then I'd be allowed to plant other seeds. Well, what cushion are we talking about? So according to Beis Hillel, let's just say Beis Hillel, because that's obviously going to be the accepted halacha. According to Beis Hillel, it has to be a total of 16 amos by 16 amos. The square in the middle has to be minimally 16 by 16. How do we arrive at the number 16? Because you need 4 amos already for Kedei Avodaso. Meaning you need just a 4 amos space just to work. So you need working room if you're going to plant any other seeds in the middle. So already now I have to go in 4 amos from one direction. I have to go in 4 amos from the other direction. That already makes up 8 amos. What about the other 8 amos? The other 8 amos is going to be where I'm going to be planting the other seeds. Okay, wait just 1 second. We'll read on a little bit more, and then we'll ask a question. So, v'zareas amos v'ezu mechol akerem. Now the Mishnah in Kalayim says, what about the perimeter of the field? And now I go to the other picture that I drew up on the board. The perimeter of the field, so there, I only needed 12 amakushin, meaning the vineyard's on the inside, right, that inner box, and then if I want to plant other seeds around the perimeter, so that would be fine, provided that there is 12 amakushin space. Ben karen legadu esham shtei mesrei ama, lo yivei zer l'sham hayusham shtei mesrei ama, noresan lo kedei avodasa v'zeres ashar. Okay. So that is the Mishnah in Kalayim. Let's ask an obvious question as we're comparing both the, this is the karachas akerem, the bald spot of the kerem, and that's the mechol akerem. So a simple question, which Rashi deals with, why over here 16, why over there 12? Why not over here 12? Why not over there 12? Why are we inconsistent regarding the kereach and the mechol? So Rashi explains as follows. Let's start off with the mechol. So first of all, these four amas over here. So that's kedei avodasa, meaning he needs room to work. Meaning here's a vineyard, so he needs room to work, to send the plow around, to have the animals walk around. So this is four amas. Okay. Then he's going to have four amas of planting. And what about these last four amas over here? So Rashi explains, well, those last four amas over here, that's right up against the fence. Here's the fence. And it's nearly impossible to plant right up against the fence. Okay? Over here, however, we're not going up against the fence. So in other words, I need four amas of working space. This is kedei avodaso. Here, I also need kedei avodaso. Now, from the kedei avodaso, so I'm going to be allowed to plant four amas. From this kedei avodaso, I'm going to be able to plant four amas. So in other words, because we're coming in from this side, and we're coming in from this side, so therefore I have eight over here, four for this one, four for this one. So that's how we arrive at a total of 16 amas. That's how Rashi explains the discrepancy between the karachas akerem and the mechol akerem. Either way, the point is the following. The larger point of our Gemara is that here we're talking about a linear measurement. If we're going to be machmir, obviously we're going to need a longer linear measurement. Because essentially, I'm not allowed to plant any other seed in the middle of the vineyard until I have 16 amas of cushion. 16 amas of free space. So here, using the larger ama, it's going to result in a chumrah. I won't be able to plant any other seed until I have 16, not just amas, but 16 long amas. Okay. The Gemara notes, the Gemara says, yeah, but what if I plant a vineyard and there is no defined rows? Meaning I just plant them like one right on top of the other. Now, not literally, but like next to the other, and it's not rows. Now, what if it's not rows? It's not a kerem. It's not a vineyard. Meaning all these halachas that we're going over right now, where I need 16 amas in the middle of the field, 12 amas at the edge of the field so I can plant other seeds, that's only if I'm planting in a kerem, in a vineyard. But if they're not defined rows, so then it's not a vineyard. So if I do not plant it in rows, and by rows I mean that there are four amas in between each row, Rabbi Shimon Omer, ain't no kerem. The Chachamim, Mamim, kerem. So we have a machlokes over here between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. Now Rabbi Shimon says it's not a vineyard. And interestingly enough, according to Rabbi Shimon, you're allowed to plant seeds right next to it, other seeds right next to it, because it does not have the status of a vineyard. Verona same time kilo einam. Meanwhile, according to the Chachamim, Chachamim say no, it is rose. What about the vineyard that's planted in between? And there was no space. There's no four amas space. So you just simply ignore it. Look at it as if it isn't there. But anyway, in the meantime, however, according to Rabbi Shimon, obviously, if I'm using now the longer measurement, that results in a kula. Why? Think about it. Because essentially what that means is that it won't have a designation of a kerem until there's a four amma space between them. If I take out the large amma measuring stick, it means I'm going to be more apt to say it's not a vineyard. So it comes out that that'll be a kula. So the Gemara gives two answers. Karabat and Darmi have a Kerem. So first of all, remember, we just learned it's a machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. This question is only according to Rabbi Shimon. According to the Chachamim, it still defines itself as a Kerem, even if there isn't a four Amma space between each row. So we could just simply say that we're holding like the Chachamim, not like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, Virav Amas Kamar. Or we could also say, look, we're going like, we do go like Rabbi Shimon, but when we say that in the world of Kalayim, we're going to use the larger Amma measuring stick, that's for most of our Kalayim halachas. But for some of them, we won't. But for the majority of our Kalayim measurements, like this case, like that case, the Karachas HaKerem, the Mechol HaKerem, so we're going to use the larger Amma measuring stick. Okay. Right? Virav Amas Kamar. Good. Ad Khan, that takes us now up to Rava. Okay, now as I mentioned already once earlier this morning, there's going to be two opinions in terms of, we all agree that there's a large Amma and there's a small Amma. Just a question of what's large versus what's small. According to Abaye quoting Rav Nachman, it's a really big discrepancy. In other words, the difference between 5 Tfachim versus 6 Tfachim. And whatever serves as a Chumrah, that's the measuring stick we're going to use. That is Abaye's understanding of Rav Nachman. Rava Mishmeh to Rav Nachman. Now we have Rava's version of Rav Nachman. Now, in this particular scenario, it's hard to say Elu ve'elu, that they're both right, meaning they're both quoting Rav Nachman. So must have been some sort of miscommunication, or so it would seem. Kol Amos ba'ama ba'shisha. Every Amma always works with 6 Tefachim. You will not find a 5 Tefach Amma. Although I say that so definitively and so confidently, as you'll see later, even according to Rava, there is a 5 Tefach Amma. But for the time being, however, just say it like it is. There's a 6, every Amma 6 Tefachim. Ela halalu sochakos, v'alalu atzavos. But there is going to be a range. And what's the range? Happy Tefachim versus sad Tefachim. I know that's just a hilarious way to say it, but that's the way we're going to say it. A happy tefach versus a sad tefach. A happy tefach socha kos. So the, look, as I explained already yesterday, how do you make a tefach with your fist? Now, there's two ways to make a tefach with your fist. You can either really clench your fist tight, or you can hold your fist loosely, give a little bit of airspace in between each of the fingers, and obviously that will yield in two different tefachim. Okay, we're not talking about a major discrepancy over here, but there is a discrepancy between holding it tight or leaving it loose. Sochakos means the loose tefach, which obviously is going to be a larger tefach. Sochek, happy, when you're happy, your mouth widens, right? You're smiling. So too in the analogy over here in the hand. So if it's a happy tefach, it means that your fingers are loose. It's going to be a slightly wider tefach. Aksavos, sad. Clenched tight. And now that we know the range, it's going to be basically the same points that we just made for Abaye. It's just that the range is going to be a smaller range. So here we go. Bottom line of Gimel Amud Beis. Kol Amos Amru Chachamim Ba'ama Ba'shisha Uvavach Elo Yehu Mechuvanot. Every Amma 6, they're just not all the same. Okay. Now, Bishlam al Rava ki echad al havi na lo shochakos va lo tzavos. According to Rava, perfect. Meaning that's exactly Rava's point. That every Amma 6 tefachim. It's just a question of some of them are going to be happy, meaning wider, and some of them are going to be sad. El al Abaye kasha. So, but for Abaye poses a difficulty because Abaye says no. The range is some Ammas are 6 tefachim and some Ammas are 5 tefachim. So, according to Abaye, what are you going to do with that braisa? El al Abaye kasham lach Abaye ma'amas kalayim ba'ama bashisha. So the Gemara says, well, what Abaye could say is he could try to localize that braisa. That braisa is just talking about the amas of kalayim. Now, that's a difficult shot in the braisa, because if you look back at the beginning of the braisa, right after the Gemara says the word meisve, the Gemara then quotes, kol amos sha'amru. So Abaye's Pshat is in fact difficult, and the Gemara is going to have a hard time defending it. Okay, the obvious issue. So Am Lecha Abaye Amas Kalayim Ba'Amas Ba'Shisha V'Hamid Itani Seifa. But the Gemara, even I guess the Gemara could have gone back to the word Kol, but the Gemara has even a stronger question, which is go to the end of the Brisa. We haven't seen it yet. We're about to see it right now. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Kol Amas Shemur Chachamim Bekalayim Ba'Amas Ba'Shisha V'Vashalayim Tzimtzamos. when you're measuring the kalayim, this is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, safe of the Braisa, when you're measuring kalayim, it needs to be an amma of six tvachim. Now, obviously, mechlal, the Tana Kama kol amas kamar. That when the Tana Kama was talking about every amma, you know what he was talking about? Every amma. Not just the amma of kalayim, but every amma. So, amma chabai, v'lav mi'ikar, Shimon Gamliel, dekai kavasi. So, Abai will say, look, your point is well taken. I don't know how to defend myself against the Tana Kama. But now, at least come to this, at least give me this. I do have Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. I agree with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Okay, so in other words, I'll just simply tell you, it's a machlokes tanayim. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that the range of an amma is somewhere between 6 tvachim and 5 tvachim, depending on what we're talking about. And, good, so I go like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So, anadamri Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, fine. Now, for Abaye, there's no other way to say it. It's subject to a machlokes tanayim. He follows, like the position of Shimon Gamliel, the Tana Kama argues on Rav Shimon Gamliel, and by extension, of course, on Abaye. But li Rava mi lema tanayi, but according to Rava, is it a machlokes tanayim? Va'amal lecha Rava, Rav Shimon Gamliel ha'asa la'ashmi'inan, I'm sorry, Rava will say the following, which is, you know, I don't even think it's a machlokas tanayim. Meaning, my opinion, which is, every amma is six tfachim. I think you could read that into the Braisa, both according to the Tanakama and according to Rav Shimon Gamliel. Now, how's that going to work? Amal Rava, Rav Shimon Gamliel, ha'asa la'ashminan, amas kalayim lo yitzam same. It's that. In other areas of the halachas of an amma, closed fist, tight fist, because we're talking about height maximum. We're talking about the width of a breach in the mavui. In the mavui. So there you want to be measuring with the shorter amma. Six tfachim, it's shorter because you're closing the fist tight. Masha ein kein, if you're talking about kalayim, looser amma, lo yitzam same. So the Gemara says that could be a good shot, but allow me to ask you a very simple question. Why not say that? If that's what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel means, that lo yitzam same, so let him say lo yitzam same. Why is he pointing to the number six? It makes it sound like there's another area in halacha where we're going to be using five. My love lamute amas sukkah v'amas mavui. So isn't that telling us that when we're using the amma for a sukkah and for a mavui, we're going to be using an amma of five tvachim lo lamute amas yisod v'amas sovev? The Gemara says no. It's coming to exclude another amma where we're going to be using five, and that is the yisod of the mizbech and the sovev of the mizbech tichsev. And so now here we have it. Meaning, according to Rava, as I mentioned in the beginning when we started with Rava, every amma is going to be six tvachim. The only range and the only discrepancy is that sometimes you're going to be using tight fists and sometimes you're going to be using a loose fist amma. Okay? That is according to Rava. But even according to Rava, there is going to be a time in halacha where you're going to be using five, and that's by the Mizbeach, Dichsif. Ve'ela midos ha-Mizbeach, be'amos, amma, amma v'tefach, v'cheka amma, v'amma rachav, u'gvula al-sfasa saviv, zeres ha-achad, v'ze gav ha-Mizbeach. The Pasuk in Yechezkel. Now the Pasuk in Yechezkel is describing the construction of the third Beis HaMikdash. But the Gemara is assuming now that the construction of the Mizbeach that's being described in Yechezkel is the construction of the Mizbeach in general. And sometimes we're going to be using an amma that is less than six tvachim. Chek amma is a yesod, referring to the foundation. Remember, back in tvachim we did this in detail. Right now, we're not going to be doing this in detail. The yesod is the first amma of the Mizbeach. It's the foundation, it's the base. Where there, it's one amma going up, one amma going in. What we're now saying is, yes, it's an amma, but use a five tefach measure, not a six tefach measure. The amma rachav ze sovev. Now we're up to the sovev, that's the ledge. Remember, about halfway up the Mizbeach, there's a small ledge where it indents and it goes in. So there it's indenting an amma, but not six tfachim, but rather five tfachim. Ugvulas afsav saviv elo hakranos, and that is the reference to the kranos. Literally, the horns of the mizbeach. There are four square blocks in the four corners of the mizbeach. V'zeh gava mizbeach, zeh mizbeach hazahav. And the gava mizbeach is referring to the golden mizbeach. That's inside the heichal. That's where the kataris is burned daily. Chatsi pras baboker v'chatsi pras. No, I'm sorry. Pras baboker, pras ba tzaharayim. Once in the morning and once again in the afternoon. These mizbeachot, meaning the mizbeach, the outer mizbeach, not all of it, parts of it. The inner mizbeach, presumably all of it, is subject to being measured with an amma constructed of not six tefachim, but rather five tefachim. Okay? That's where the amma is going to be five tefach. Masha enkein legabi every halacha where there's a requirement of amma, you're going to use an amma bas shisha, an amma six tefachim. And the only range and discrepancy is going to be whether I use happy tefachim or sad tefachim. Okay. Unclear. Unsure. Meaning, who was the average back then? I would tell you it's not Moshe. Moshe was 10 amas tall. So hard to imagine that it was Moshe, but okay, it's a fair question. Unsure.
Did he use like Tefach to measure?
I assume that they had some sort of... Mishnah and Midos told us that they had actually had measuring sticks, meaning hung up on the wall, if I remember correctly, the eastern wall, hung up on the wall in the Beis HaMikdash, and had actual measuring sticks. Not all of them were the same size, but like we're learning right now, right? There was a range. Amar Rebbe Chiya Bar Ashi Amar Rav. Okay, and now the Gemara takes us on a wonderful tangent, which is the following. Good. We now spent almost half of this morning, and yesterday, and the day before, talking about height. That when I'm making my sukkah, now we're talking about Korah, so Korah is a rabbinic institution. Okay, it's part of Mavui, which is part of Erevin, so that's all midrabbanan. Okay, but when we're talking about a sukkah, same story. There's a height restriction. The schach cannot be higher than 20 amas. And the question is very simple. Where do we know this? Where do we get this information from? So essentially now what the Gemara is going to tell us, very basic information, is that any time that we have a shear, a measurement, it's halacha, lamosha, misinai, it's part of the oral tradition. You know, the Rambam breaks up Torah Shabbat Pen to five components, right? You should know this. We all should know this. The Rambam breaks up the Torah Shabbat Pen to five components. So one of the components that he breaks it down to is halacha, lamosha, misinai. One component, says the Rambam, of Torah Shabbat Pen, is just simple pshat in the psukim. Meaning you read the psukim, you got to know what the pasuk's talking about. Meaning, so for example, the Torah says that if I poke out your eye, you poke out my eye. Okay? So what's the pshat? Meaning, how do you... Just a simple pshat in the pasuk. Does that mean you get to poke my eye out? No. It means, right, that I'm going to have to pay, right, the amount of how much your eye was worth to you. I know it's invaluable, but, you know, in other words, we'll put a price on it. That is part one of Torah Shabbat Peh. Part two of Torah Shabbat Peh, says the Rambam, is halacha lamoshe misinai, meaning halachas that have no attachment whatsoever to a pasuk in the Torah, no connection to any pasuk. It's just simply, this is the law, not unconnected, totally unconnected to the Torah. So for example, shiurim, any shiur in the Torah, halacha moshe misinai. Chatzitza, which we'll talk about today, halacha moshe misinai. Mechitza, a wall, halacha moshe misinai. And that's just by example. There are many other examples of halacha moshe misinai.
Why wasn't it used when you were talking about the height of the entrance to Olam?
That's also halacha moshe misinai.
No, why was it compared to...
because Mavui is a rabbinic institution. So what they wanted to know is, where's the platform? Where did the rabbis create this idea? Where they learned this idea that it should be 20 amos? So that's why we're going to start comparing to here, because Mavui is rabbinic. When we're talking about sukkah, I mean, I know yesterday we did, you know, Rava's explanation of Laman Yedil. But in other words, 20 amos, where does the number 20 come from? So we'll suggest it's Allah HaMoshim Sinai. What's the third part of Torah Shabbat Peh, according to the Rambam? So that is Yud Gimel Midah Shatar Nidreshes Bahem. Meaning that we have ways of darshaning. Right? What are the ways? So we're all familiar. Rabbi Shmuel has 13 midos she'atar nidrashas b'hem. Right before Pesukei Dezimra, every morning we say them. Klal l'pra, prat u'klal, klal v'chomer, binyanav, binyanav mishnei k'suvim. So that is a third aspect of Torah Shabbat Peh. And what's numbers 4 and 5? 4 is the gzeros, all the rabbinic decrees that are made. And 5 are minhagim. We talk about minhagim, I mean, obviously we're talking about old minhagim, minhag nevi'im. Okay. Halal Rosh Chodesh, today. Okay, anyway, so that is, those are the five components of Torah Shabbat Peh. And by the way, we talk about minhagim, we're also talking about, Chanukah is not a minhag, but a rabbinic institution, right? That would also fall under the category of minhag. Okay, all part and parcel of Torah Shabbat Peh, the oral tradition. So here we are now describing Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, not connected to a pasuk. So the Gemara starts off with a very big statement, which is Amrav Chia Barash Amrav Shiurin Chatzitzin Mitzi'u Mechitzin Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. That when we're talking about measurements and the halacha of chatzitza, a barrier separating you and the water as you go into the mikvah, and mechitza, and any halachas that have to do with a wall, these are generated not from psukim in the Torah. This is halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim. Okay. Now, shiurin daraisahu. And the Gemara challenges, and for the rest of today, we're going to see that the Gemara is just going to challenge this statement made by Rabbi Chia Barashi, in the name of Rav. So first of all, let's talk about shiurim. Shiurim are halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim. What are you talking about? It's a pasuk in Chumash. Dichsiv, the Torah says, Eretz Chita v'sorah v'gefen v'teina, Eretz zeishem u'dvash. I feel like I left out Rimon, and I don't know why I did that. Anyway, Amar Chanan kol ha-pasuk hazeh l'shiurim ne'amar. Every fruit mentioned in the pasuk. Now, we all know there's 7 of them. Okay, wheat, in this case, is a fruit. And barley, in this case, is a fruit. By the way, where's oats? Where's spelt? Where's rye? So the Gemara in Pesachim tells us that they are subsumed under wheat and barley. Wheat and barley are the two main grains. And then, Stuart, do you remember? I don't remember which one fits under which. Anyway, the other three fit under chita and sa'ora. I'd be guessing right now if I whatever. Anyway, so there are 7. There are 7 fruit in which to talk about, and each fruit speaks to a different shear. So, for example, we're going to go through all 7 of them. Chita lichet danana nechlanas beit hamenuga vekelav aktefa v'sandal v'tabos abiyadav huvem tamei miyad. Hi, I love Vishkela Vasandala Baragla Vatabasa Betrasa Vutamim Yad Bain Tarin Achiisha Bechdechas Pras Paschitin Vopasa Orin Mesav Vochel Beliftan. Yes, I'm aware I read that fast, but basically the halacha goes like this. It's so much easier to explain it outside than to read it inside. When you walk into a house with Saras, so much like when you walk into a house when there's a mace, so you become Tame just by walking into the house. Similarly, when a house has saras, by you walking into the house, you become tummy when you walk in. There are actual discrepancies between walking into an ohel mace and versus walking into an ohel saras. Now is not the time to go through the differences. And again, if you test me right now, I couldn't tell you all differences, but there are differences between them. In the meantime, however, when you walk into the house, the moment now you enter, upon entering into the house, you become tummy. Done. What if you're holding clothing in your hand? They become tummy immediately. But here's an interesting halacha. If you're wearing clothing and you're walking into a house of tzaras, your clothing do not become tummy immediately. It's on a tummy delay. Okay, I said that carefully. Okay, they're on a tummy delay. And when are they going to become tummy exactly? Interesting halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim. Now, again, the Gemara over here is thinking that it's not halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim because it's connected to the pasuk of chita. To give away the Gemara at the end, to give away the punchline, essentially later on the Gemara is going to say it's not really connected to the pasuk, it's just an asmachta. Okay, but I just ruined everything. I gave you the punchline of the Gemara. But in the meantime, however, when you walk into the house and you're wearing clothing, your clothing will become tame only after it takes you to eat a half a loaf of bread, wheat bread, not barley bread, that's the wheat bread, not barley bread, and beliftan, and also with a little hummus on the side. It doesn't have to be chumas. I just chose that one arbitrarily. Okay, that is, and Rashi says that wheat bread, while sitting with a little bit of chumas, is eaten faster than if you were to be eating it on the run. Okay, that is our halacha for wheat. Sa'orin. Now we're going to go to the halacha of sa'ora. Ditnan etzem kasara mitame b'maga uvemasa. A bone chip. If you have human remains, but not talking about the flesh, we're just simply now talking about the bones. If you have a bone the size, the volume of barley, one barley seed, that will give off tuma. Not tumas ohel, but maga and masa. Touching and carrying. So if you touch a bone chip, or if you carry a bone chip, you will become tame. Gefen, what about a grape? Kedei revius yayin lanazir. Well, that tells us the shear of a revius of wine vis-a-vis a nazir. Now, the way Rashi explains it over here in our Masechta, it's the last Rashi on the page. Rashi writes, revius yayin lanazir, lechayv amakas, you're going to be chayv makas. Now, Tosos has a hard time with Rashi over here because what do you mean? That has nothing to do with the actual grape itself. What are you telling me that you're going to get malchus? That's not a halacha in the fruit. That just is that if you're nazir and you eat grapes, you're going to be subject to malchus. So Tosos says, I don't understand Rashi over here. So Tosos gives his own pshat, which, by the way, Rashi gives the same pshat of Tosos when the Gemara in Sukkah goes over the same information as we're going over right now. And the pshat over there is as follows, meaning Rashi's pshat in Sukkah. And Tosos says it over here is as follows. When we're saying that the grapes are the shear of revius, it means as follows. Normally when we talk about food, so we give a volume measurement of food. What's our usual volume measurement of food? Kezias. Over here, however, we're not going to give a volume measurement of food, but we're going to give a liquid volume measurement. What's your standard liquid volume measurement? Revius. So if I eat a revius of grapes as a nazir, you're going to be subject to malchus. Okay. Revius of grapes, how do you figure? Well, that's very easy. Something called displacement. Okay? Right? Eureka? No? Okay. Archimedes. Yeah. Okay. So what happens is, what you do is you take the grapes, you put it into water, and once it displaces a revius of the water, so then you're going, and you eat that much grape, so then as a nazir, you're going to be chayav. But wait, the story's not over. You see, with the example that I just gave is that you took the grape and you put it in water. Now, water, there's surface, every liquid has surface tension, but water does not have a lot of surface tension. What if instead of water, I use wine? So in other words, I'm looking now not to displace water, but I'm looking to displace wine. Wine is more viscous. Wine has greater surface tension. So now when I take the grape and I put it into not water but wine, so I'm going to need to put more grapes in there in order to displace a revius. Tosa says that's what our Gemara is referring to. That here when I'm measuring the amount of grapes eaten by a nazir in order to be chayav, it's the amount of grapes not put into water but put into wine in order to displace a revius. Then and only then is our nazir going to be subject to malchus, which would then present a kula to the nazir. Te'ena, we're now on the top of the next amud. What about figs? Kegrogros lotzah Shabbos. So we went through Masechta Shabbos. We discussed this at length in Masechta Shabbos. That's the amount of food you need to carry on Shabbos in order to be liable to the kares, skila, chatas, right? Whatever state of consciousness you're in for the carrying on Shabbos. Rimon. What about a pomegranate? Kedinan, kol kli balei batim shirin karimonim. All the utensils of balei batim are subject to the shear of a rimon. Meaning, I have in my house a basket, a pot, and it's got a little bit of a hole in it. A little bit of a hole in it. I'm not going to throw it out yet. Still usable. Once the hole becomes big enough where a pomegranate will go right through the hole, now I'm ready to dispose of my pot.
The seed or the pomegranate?
No, the entire pomegranate. And I guess we're talking about the average pomegranate in diameter. Eretz Zei Shemen U Devash. Eretz Shekol Shireh Kezeisim. Now, what about Zayas, the olive? Well, olive has got to be the most popular shear. All food is measured, not all, but the Gemara is about to make that correction. I'll say it like the Braisa. All food is measured with the volume of an olive. The Gemara says, Kol Shireha Sagadatcha, every single measurement. Vaika Hani Damaran. What about a discussion we've been having now for the last 10 minutes? About the wheat, about the barley, about the pomegranate. Ela ima eretz shirov shiurah kezesim. But you're right. We said kol, we said majority. We meant majority. The majority of food is measured using the volume of an olive. Devash kekosevis agasa yamakipurim. What about honey? You know when the Torah talks about honey, it's talking about dates. Dates is relative to what? That's relative to the amount you eat on Yom Kippur in order to be liable to Malchus on Yom Kippur for not afflicting yourself. You have to eat enough on Yom Kippur where it satisfies you, which is a kosevis agasa, a plump date. The tisbra, so I'm sorry, period. End of question. So in other words, what do we have over here? The Gemara is asking the following question. How can you tell me that Shiurim are Halacha Moshe Misinai when meanwhile you have all these things connected to the Pasuk in Chumash? Answer says the Gemara very simply, V'tizbar shirim mechzav k'sivei ala hilchos aninu. First of all, every halacha that we just went over, starting from going into the house of the Menuga, to the Etzem Kisa'ora, all these halachas we just learned, they are written in the Torah? Of course not. Meaning all they're doing, all the Chachamim did, is connect the halacha to a Pasuk in Chumash. This is what the Gemara calls Asmachta. Asmechina Rabbanan Akrai. Now, asmachta, by the way, is a term that's used in a number of different contexts. In this context, it means that these halachas are halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, Torah laws, and what the rabbis did as just simply a mnemonic, as a memory aid, is it connected to a pasuk in Chumash. So now that we have another connection, but it doesn't mean that these are halachas generated by the Torah. These are halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, independent of the Torah. Okay. Now we move on to the next part of Rav's statement. So Rav says that Shiurim are halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. Good. We defended that point. Point number two, Chatzitza is halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. So the Gemara says, no, it's not. It's halacha written in the Torah. Dichtiv rechatz, it's called Besara b'mayim. Shalaya davar chotzitz ben Besara l'mayim. B'mayim b'mei mikvah. Kol Besara b'mayim, shekol gufo ola b'hen. So the Gemara says, mikvah, your entire body must go into the mikvah. And, oh, by the way, how big is the mikvah? Well, the entirety of your body must be able to fit into the mikvah at one time, which is one amma by three ammas. Remember, not that long ago, we had a discussion. What's the average height of a man? So, from our Gemara, it sounds like the average height of a man is three amas. Because we want to know, what is the box that'll contain the totality of a human being in one shot? So it's one amma by one amma, right? That's area. That's length by width, going three amas deep. So you could make the argument that the totality of a human being is three amas in height. The average height of a human is three amas. Okay? Which is somewhere in the range between... the six is going to be the maximum, 4.5 to 6 feet. Okay, four and a half. We just saw the Globetrotters in action, right? They had a player who was 4.5 feet tall. Okay, they also had a player who was 7.5 feet tall. So it's the Globetrotters. If I remember correctly, so Tosha says that not necessarily, because what we could simply say is that what the Torah is accounting for is that he's going to put his head down. So in other words, the three amos may just go up to his shoulders, not necessarily all the way up to his head. Either way, it comes out to 40 sa'a, meaning in other words, we'll take the linear measurement of 1 by 1 by 3, and then we'll transfer it to a volume measurement, which comes out to 40 sa'a. Good. So, and it's all based on a pasuk in Chumash. So what are you telling me? It's halach l'moshe Mitzrayim. So ki yitzarech hilchasa l'sa'aro. So the Gemara says, yeah, you know what the halach l'moshe Mitzrayim is referring to? It's referring to his hair. Uchedrava Baravuna de Amaraba Ravuna Nima Akas Kshura Chotzetzes Shalosh Eina Chotzetzes. Look, not only does your body have to go into the mikvah, your hair needs to go into the mikvah as well. So, if you have hair, I know for men it's harder to imagine. For women it's much easier to imagine that their body's submerged in the mikvah and their hair is not. That's no good. Your hair's got to be submerged in the mikvah. And furthermore, there can't be any knots in the hair. If you have one hair strand that's tied in a knot, that'll make a chatzitza. Three hair strands that are tied into a knot, well, it's hard to tie three hair strands tightly, so it's by definition going to be wound loosely, so that won't be a chatzitza. Two hairs, admittedly, ain't yodea. We don't know whether two hairs is or is not a chatzitza. But anyway, in the meantime, however, the larger point of the Gemara over here is that the halacha Moshe Messina is going on here. The Gemara says, Saranamida Raisehi. What are you talking about? That's not a halacha Moshe Messina. That's in the pasuk. Detayi Verachatz es kol bisaro. And the key word over here is es hatafala bisaro. S is always a ribui. It's always coming to include something. So if the Torah is telling us the basar has to go into the mikvah, so what's the S? Something which is ancillary to the basar, which is your hair. Hair's got to go in the mikvah as well. Zehu se'ar. So the Gemara says, so now that I have all these psukim, where's the halach la'moshe m'sinai? Ki asai hechusel l'rubo l'miyuto u'l'makbid u'l'shein makbid. So it's going on the following, the halacha of Rabbi Yitzchak, which is rubo u'makbid. Let's see it inside the Am Rabbi Yitzchak, Dvar Torah rubo u'makbid, alav chotzeis. Let's say you have a stain on your body, a mud stain on your body, and it's covering the majority of your body, and it's really dirty and disgusting, and you don't want it there. So that's what's called rubo. It's covering the majority of your body, and makbid. You don't want it there. So that is minatare e chatzitza. She'eno makbid alav, eno chotzeitz. Now, what if you don't mind? It doesn't bother you. Now, I know for mud, it's hard to imagine. So mud's not a good example. But let's say you have something covering the majority of your body. Lo echpatli. Doesn't bother me. So, minatara, that's not a chatzitza. But gazra ruba shera makbid mishum ruba makbid. However, the rabbi stepped in and the rabbi said, we're going to make a gzera, because even though it may not bother you, on another occasion it may bother you, or it may bother somebody else. So as a gzera, if you have a chatzitza that's covering the majority of your body, it's a midraban, that'll be a chatzitza. And now let's say it's not covering the majority of your body, but it really bothers you, and you don't want it there, and you want it removed, so then you're going to have to take it off before you go into the mikvah. And midrabanan, minatorah, it's not a chatzitza. Why? Because if in order for it to be a chatzitza minatorah, I need both. I need rov, and it needs to bother you. Here, if it's not the majority, but it bothers you, minatara, it's not a chatzitza. But what do the rabbis do? They made a gzera. Al miyuto amakbin mishum ruba amakbin. Okay. V'ligzernami al miyuto she'eno makbin. Now, what if it doesn't cover the majority of your body and you don't care? It doesn't bother you. So here, no gzera whatsoever. Why not? Mishum miyuto amakbin. Because... I'm sorry, the Gemara wants to know, why don't we make a gzera? So the Gemara says, because it's two steps removed. Because if it is a minority of your body, and you don't care, so in order for that to be a chatzitza min haTorah, it would have to A, cover the majority, and B, you would have to care. So in other words, we're two steps removed from getting to a chatzitza min haTorah. That's gzera le gzera, and the rabbis do not make such rabbis are not gozer to that degree. I'll ask you a simple question. You know, every time we go to the mikvah, I know for men, so we only go to the mikvah as a minhag. We don't go to the mikvah as a halacha, right? When the Beis HaMikdash comes around, b'yameinu, so we're going to go to the mikvah min haTorah. In other words, there will be a mitzvah to go to the mikvah, but for women to go to the mikvah, so they know that they're careful about any amount, any chatzitza on their body, and they're going to remove any chatzitza on the body. Based on our Gemara over here, it sounds like that's excessive. The Gemara says pretty clearly that if it's a miyut and it's in a makbid, so why are we so careful to remove every chatzitza? So there are two simple answers. Number one, could be that they're makbid. which would be an Issa D'Rabbanan. And answer number two is based on Rashi on today's daf. Rashi says that this entire discussion of Rov and Hakpada, Rashi says it's going specifically on the hair, not on the body. In other words, these halachas are specific to the Seyar, not to the body. When it comes to the body, all chatzitza must be removed. Okay. Mechitzos, daraisa, let's just finish up. What about mechitzos? Again, the question is the same question as it was over the entirety of today, which is, how can you say that all these halachas, shiurin, chatzitza, and mechitza, they're all halacha Moshe Mitzinai, when we can connect them to psukim? So as far as shiurim are concerned, that's just an asmachta. As far as chatzitza is concerned, we're talking about the halacha of rubo umakbid. What about mechitza? Mechitza is the right sanino. The Aron v'tisha for kapar is tafach. Hare kan asara. The Aron is 9 tefachim high. The lid of the Aron is 1 tefach, totaling 10 tefachim. So how can you tell me that it's halacha Moshe Mitzinai when we have over here the source of the height of a wall, which is 10 tefachim? Lo tzricha l'Rav Yehuda d'amram amas binyan ba'ama bashisha, amas kelim ba'amas bas chamisha. So the Gemara says, look, according to Rav Yehuda, when we're measuring the Aron, we're not using an amma of 6 tefachim. We're using an amma of 5 tefachim. So therefore, the totality of the Aron is not 9 plus 1. It's going to be, 7.5? Right? Is it, yeah? 7.5. Good. That satisfies Rav Yehuda's position. What about according to Rav Meir? Even according to Rav Meir, you're right. 10 amma height of a wall, minimum height of a wall, you can point to a pasuk in Chumash. But there are many halachas regarding walls, you're not going to see a single pasuk describing. Number one, the halacha of good. Good asik, good achis, walls extending up, walls extending down. If you don't know what I'm talking about, stick with the Daf Yomi. We're gonna learn a number of halachas regarding walls going up and walls going down. Lavud, any walls that are within 3 tefachim of one another are as if they are closed. And Dofen Akuma, we just did that yesterday. When the wall goes up in the sukkah and makes a 90-degree turn, that's still considered part of the wall, and it does not disqualify your sukkah. And that extends 4 amos. So if, as long as that 90-degree turn doesn't go past 4 amos, so then we say it's Dofen Akuma, it's just simply a bent wall. Obviously, you cannot sit under that area, but nevertheless, it does not disqualify your sukkah. How do we know this? Where did that come from? Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Ad kan. Okay, very basic Gemara today. We finished up in terms of measuring the amma. How long an amma are we talking about? Machlok between Abai and Rava. Abai says it's a range between 6 to 5 tefachim, depending on what results in a chumra. Rava says it's always going to be 6 tefachim. The range is whether the tefach is going to be happy or sad, depending on what results in a chumra. Even according to Rava, there are ammas that are 5 tefachim. The kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, the Mizbeach HaChitzon, parts of the Mizbeach HaChitzon, and the Mizbeach HaZahav. And then, the big statement of Rav, Shiurin, Mechitzin, Chatzitz are all Halach L'Moshe Mitzinai, not connected to a Pasuk in Chumash, still Minat Torah, but not connected to a Pasuk in Chumash. The Gemara challenged every one of these 3 ideas, and the Gemara defended, yes, all 3 of them are Halach L'Moshe Mitzinai.